Hello everyone, I'm Raluca. Okay. I'm Raluca and I will talk about BPrev, which is a system for protecting privacy in location-based vehicular services. This is joint work with Hari Balakrishnan from MIT and Andrew Blumberg from Stanford. Location-based vehicular services are increasingly being adopted. Most of us are familiar with the EasyPass system, which allows drivers to pass by the toll booth without having to stop and pay. Other useful systems are traffic law enforcement and toll collection and statistics collection, where the latter, for example, allows drivers to avoid areas with high traffic or damaged roads. Pay-as-you-go insurance is also useful because it allows drivers who drive less to pay less. Therefore, all these applications have promised a lot of efficiency, have a better driver experience, generate revenue, or provide more safety. However, along with the tremendous promise comes a serious threat to the locational privacy of drivers. For example, in the EasyPass system, every time a driver passes by the toll booth, an antenna receiver records a count ID. The antenna node also knows the location and the time and sends all this information to a centralized server. The server uses the count ID to charge the client for the toll. However, he also can aggregate the driver's path using the account ID. And in fact, such traces from EasyPass have been used in civil cases, such as the one in Pennsylvania, when a spouse proved that her husband committed adultery by showing that in the EasyPass he went in a different direction than he claimed. Also, according to a study by Riley in 2008, there's 30% less electronic toll usage in the Bay Area because of the privacy concerns. Therefore, we propose VPRIV, which is a system for preserving privacy while maintaining the benefits of such services. VPRIV is built on observation that most vehicular services are functions over time location tuples. For example, the EasyPass is just a sum of the costs associated to the driver passing through certain time and locations, the toll booth. Now, ideally, we'd like to compute these functions on the driver's path without knowing the paths for privacy reasons. Well, the idea is to use zero knowledge or secure multi-party computation. However, the problem with general reductions from literature is that they're known to be very slow and complex. In comparison, VPRIV is three orders of magnitude faster than such reductions. And the reason is that we design VPRIV from scratch by looking at the specifics of our setting. So VPRIV is applicable to functions that are sums over cost functions over time location tuples. And we achieve efficiency via homomorphic encryption, as I will describe. So I have motivated our work. Now I will present the model, architecture, protocols, and our enforcement scheme, which guarantees that clients cannot mount physical attacks such as turning off their transponder. In our model, there are two parties, a car or a driver and a server. The driver is not trusted, and in fact, it may try to change the result of the function to pay a smaller insurance fee. Also, the transponder is entirely not trusted because the driver may purchase an invalid transponder or install invalid software. The server is trusted to run the protocol in that it won't try to change the result of the function, such as charge the client more. However, it attempts to violate privacy by trying to guess the driver's path, maybe sharing it to someone else, making it public, or yielding it to a subpoena. F is the function we like to compute on the driver's path. Now, the car's transponders periodically generate tuples of the form tag, time, and location. The tag is random and is changing with every tuple, and the server doesn't know which tags correspond to what drivers. So note that we replaced the account ID in current systems with a tag that is changing with every tuple, and that the server has no idea to what driver it corresponds. Also, these tuples are generated either at random intervals with a fixed mean, or they're generated at certain locations, such as intersections, depending on the application. Now, the tuples are uploaded either while driving upon an open AP connection, or from a personal computer, from an iPhone, or at the end of the month, and all in a batch, but they have to be in the server's database before the function is computed. So the goals of EPRI are correctness, in that we'd like the function to be correct. Locational privacy, we'd like the server not to guess the path of the driver. And efficiency, which is important for deployment and is actually not trivial to achieve when secure multi-party computation is involved. So let's describe more formally what we mean by locational privacy. So basically, we'd like the server to gain as much information about the driver's path, or insignificantly more, in VPRIV as in an Oracle model. So in the Oracle model, the server has a database of time and location tuples from all the drivers, and it doesn't know which ones correspond to what driver, so there's no ID or tag. Also, the Oracle comes and somehow magically gives the server the result of the function, and the server believes it, and there's no computation going on between the client and the server as there is in VPRIV. However, note that we do not prevent against information that can be inferred from the Oracle server anonymized database. For example, if the server somehow knows that Bob is the only person living on street A and he sees a tuple coming from street A, likely that tuple belongs to Bob and Bob left his house at that time. In order to prevent against this, we use existing work by Ho et al. In 2008, which provide mixing, which quantify mixing of the tuples of different drivers at the same location and provide guidelines on when tuples should be uploaded or not to preserve privacy. VPRIV has two components, a secure multi-party computation, which computes Fs on the car's path, and an enforcement scheme, which guarantees that clients cannot mount physical attacks such as turning off their transponder. So we applied VPRIV to a wide range of applications, usage-based tolls, which answers the question of what is the toll a driver has to pay based on his path in a month, let's say. Speeding tickets, did the driver ever travel faster than 65 miles per hour? Pay-as-you-go insurance premiums, how many minutes did the driver travel over the speed limit? Or did the driver go in some dangerous areas? For clarity, we will present the VPRIV protocol for tolling first, and then we'll provide extensions for the other applications. So before I present the protocol, I'd like to introduce two cryptographic tools rather informally. So random function family is a collection of functions indexed by an integer k, such that if k is random, fk looks random. A commitment scheme allows Alice to commit to a value x to Bob by computing C of X, which is a commitment, it's called a commitment to X, and D of X, which is called a decommitment key. Now, Alice sends C of X to Bob, from which Bob cannot gain any information about X. Now, later, if Alice wants to show X to Bob or open the commitment to X, she provides X and D of X, and Bob can check that they match C of X. Alice is not able to come up with a different X and an associated D of X that match C of X. So basically, Alice has committed to X. Now, some commitment schemes, such as Peterson, have an interesting homomorphic property that we will exploit in VPRIV. And the property says that the product of the commitment of two commitments is a commitment to the sum of the plain text for which the decommitment key is the sum of the individual decommitment keys. Okay, so we need a bit of notation before presenting the protocol. So let VI be the set of random tags of the vehicle. So these are the tags the transponder of the driver uses. SJ are the set of all the tags seen at the server, which also include the tags of the driver. However, the server doesn't know which ones of those belong to the particular driver. Now, in the tolling protocol, TJ corresponds to the toll associated with the tuple with tag SJ. The server assigns this cost by looking at the time and location in the tuple. For example, being in a Sumner Tunnel in Boston is about $3.5. For the different functions, TJ is a different function-specific value. Now, cost is the total cost the driver has to pay, and for different functions to be computed is the result of that function. So VPRIV has three stages. The first stage, registration, occurs once a year, or every time the driver renews his license plate. It occurs so from the driver runs some client software or he can on his PC or he can run it from his iPhone. Basically, the client chooses random tags, VI, and the random function K. Then he commits to the random function applied to the driver tags, nk, by sending c of fk vi and c of k to the server. So note that the vi remains inside the commitment, so the server cannot tell which are the driver tags. Now this driver transfers the random tags into the transponder. So during the driving phase, the transponder uploads tag, time, and location. Now, in the reconciliation phase, which occurs, let's say, at the end of the month, the function is computed. The client, again, uses either some software on his PC or on the iPhone, and he uses the TJs provided by the server to compute the results of the function F. So the client is the one computing F. However, the server challenges the client to verify the result. During each challenge, the detection probability of a misbehaving client is at least a half, and over multiple rounds, the probability increases exponentially, so for only 10 rounds, it's already 99.9%. So note that this is an interactive protocol, however, it's a very efficient one, as we'll show. Also, this protocol is general for any function supported by bpriv. The only difference is the first step of the reconciliation phase, and the differences are in the way TJs are assigned, depending on the function to be computed. For example, in the tolling protocol, the server computes the toll TJ for every tuple he sees in his database by looking at the time and location. Then he sends pairs of tags and associated toll costs to the driver. Using this information, the driver can compute the cost he has to pay. Okay, now the server has to challenge the client to verify that the result is correct. So I will explain this protocol, the challenge phase, intuitively for clarity. For a more rigorous protocol, please see the paper. So first, the client has to send a commitment to the random function applied to all the driver tags and the commitment to the associated toll costs. Now, the server has a choice of two challenges to perform. In the first challenge, the server could assume that the commitments he got from the driver are correct and verify that the cost based on them are correct. In the second challenge, he assumes that the cost is correct and verifies that the commitments he provided are correct. However, the server cannot perform both challenges at the same time because this would leak the driver's privacy. However, the key point is that the client won't know which challenge the server makes at the time when he sends the commitments to the server. So therefore, the commitments are already sent and the driver can only open them. He cannot change the information inside them based on the challenge the server poses. Okay, so in the first challenge, the server asks the client to open the commitment to the random function applied to the server tags and driver tags. Then for each encrypted driver tag, the server finds the matching encrypted server tags, looks at the associated commitment to toll, and computes the product of this commitment to tolls. So according to the homomorphic property, this is a commitment to the cost the driver has to pay, so the server can check the cost using some decommitment key provided by the client. Okay, now in the second challenge, the server asks the driver to open the commitments to the random function applied to the server tags and to the tolls, and the commitments to the tolls, as well as the random function. Now the server checks that all the server tags have been encrypted using the random function, and then all the proper tolls have been committed to. Okay, so why does this work? Well, clearly, if the client is correct, then he will pass the challenge phase. Now, if the client is incorrect, then either the commitments he provides or the costs are false, are incorrect. And each of this is tested by one challenge with a probability of at least half. Now, why do we have locational privacy? Well, in the first challenge, the client reveals the random function applied to the driver tags. However, he doesn't reveal the random function, so the server cannot guess the driver tags. In the second challenge, the driver does reveal the random function, but he never decommits to FK applied to the driver tags. So the driver tags remain in commitment and the server cannot guess them. And during each round, we only perform one challenge. And across multiple rounds, we use different random functions, so information cannot be used from a round to another. Of course, for a more rigorous proof, please see the paper. So vPriv can be extended to protocols such as Spedding by making a modification in the upload protocol. So basically now, we require the two consecutive tuples carry the same tag. This is in order to allow the server to compute the speed between the two tuples by taking difference in distance over the difference in time. Now we adjust the tolling protocol by assigning a cost of 1 to any pair of tuples that are over the speed limit. Now we run the VPRIV protocol in the same way, and the result is the number of speedups. If the number of speedups is greater than or at least 1, then it means that the driver needs to get a speeding ticket. But what if the client turns off his transponder? Or maybe he uploads invalid tags different from the ones he committed to during registration, or he changes the location or the time in the tuples. For this, we provide an end-to-end enforcement scheme based on random spot checks. A random spot check is performed by a police car or by a camera, which are placed at random locations unknown to the drivers. This records license plate, time, and location, so these are linked to the driver's identity. However, there are very few, as I will show. Then the server checks for consistency to see and ask the driver to prove that he uploaded a tuple that is within epsilon of time and location of the one in the spot check. So for example, in the figure, the car with license plate LP1 goes from location 1 to location 2, where he uploads a tuple and undergoes a spot check. The spot check will succeed because the client has uploaded a tuple that is within epsilon time and location of the one of the spot check. Now, this scheme is also general and is applicable to all the functions because it checks the correctness of the server's database, whether all the tuples at the server are correct. And the tuples are just the inputs to whatever function we want to compute. So we evaluated both the efficiency of the VPRIV protocol as well as the enforcement scheme. Our implementation is in C++, and the complexity is linear in the number of driver tags and tags downloaded from the server. The tags downloaded from the server can grow prohibitively large because there are many drivers, there are many tuples per driver. Also, a driver only has privacy among the tuples he downloads. Therefore, a driver could gain efficiency by downloading a smaller number of the tuples, a subset of the tuples, but he would trade off privacy. However, we think that if the client is still anonymous among 10,000 other drivers, it's still significant privacy even compared to the case when he would be anonymous among 100,000 drivers. The paper describes a series of ways in which you could download a subset of the tuples at the server without giving off your privacy. So this graph shows the running time of the protocol for one round as depending on the number of tags downloaded from the server in increments of 10,000. The protocol consists both of registration and reconciliation and of the server and client side. So we can see that for 10,000 tags at the server, we have about a 10 seconds running time. So then for 10 rounds, we have about 100 seconds running time per month. And we think this is a very reasonable cost and is about the same as buying an online ticket or online shopping. Out of this, about 50% is the cost the server incurs. So we computed that 21 server cores running the whole time can support a population of 1 million cars. We also compare VPRIV to Fairplay, which is the general purpose state-of-the-art compiler for secure multi-party computation. We implemented the simplified toll calculation in Fairplay, and we realized that when running Fairplay for only 75 tuples, we ran out of 1 gigabyte of heap space in creating the circuits, and we also compiling and running took more than 5 minutes, and we couldn't really run it for a larger number of tuples. So VPRIV is about 3 orders of magnitude faster than Fairplay in this case. Also, our enforcement scheme can be thought of effective as how long can you drive without the license plate. The detection probability is exponential in the number of spot checks. For example, if a spot check occurs every 500 minutes, the driver will be detected with a probability of 95% in less than 10 hours of illegal driving. However, we don't have to have such a high probability of detection, especially if we couple misbehavior with penalties. For example, if we have one spot check in 1,000 minutes, then after only 1.5 hours of illegal driving, the driver will be caught with the 1 in 10 chance. And we calculated that the driver will undergo a spot check about once or twice a month. So the number of spot checks needed is small, which means that the protocol is practical, and also that privacy is not given off. We also ran a simulation on cartel traces. Cartel is a system of 27 taxis in the Boston area during the year of 2008, when they uploaded 4,826 one-day paths. So the intuition behind the simulation is to place spot checks at popular places. So in the training phase, in 1 month, we extract 1% of popular places. Then in the next month, in the testing phase, we place police cars at those random places randomly, and we see how many paths are observed. And we perform this for the months of the year and average over them. So we can see that this graph shows the fraction of paths observed versus the number of spot checks placed. We can see that for only 15 to 20 spot checks, about 90% of the paths are covered, which means that our enforcement scheme is very effective. There's been a significant amount of related work done in providing privacy in practical systems. The most similar to ours is Blumberg, 2005, who proposes the use of secure multi-party computation for achieving privacy in a driving setting. However, the problem is that they use secure multi-party computation as a black box and refer to the literature on general reductions. However, as we've seen, such literature provides protocols that are about 3 orders of magnitude slower. In conclusion, we provide a protocol that is efficient and preserves driver privacy for a wide class of vehicular services. Also, it's general and practical enforcement scheme based on spot checks. We are currently incorporating VPRIV in the cartel system and collaborating with the people from the Zipcar, such as Robin Chase, and we hope that VPRIV is going to be adopted. Thank you.
Thank you, speaker. We have time for some questions.
If the central authority can't reproduce the location of a driver at a particular time, how can the driver dispute transactions?
Well, in fact, the driver is the one computing the function. So the driver computes the cost, and then he convinces the server that it's correct. So there is no transaction to dispute because the driver is the one first confirming to the cost.
But the bill is calculated at some point in time, right?
Yes.
Okay.
By the client.
That bill can be any arbitrary value higher than the actual bill, and the customer has no way to dispute that because there is no log of their location.
Well, the client is the one that computes the sum he has to pay.
Right. The client computes the sum that they have to pay, but there's nothing preventing any authority from adding any arbitrary number above that.
Well, I mean, the client will compute the cost himself. So the cost has to be correct because the driver knows his tags, and he sees how much each toll is associated to each tag, which is public, because it's associated based on time and location, and then he must agree to that sum because he does the math.
But the client can't go back and test their own tag to determine where they were at what point in time, right?
Well, he knows what his tags are, and he sees the server database. Okay, the point here is that the server cannot produce invalid tuples himself because he doesn't know the driver tags. And even if
the server doesn't have to produce invalid tuples because there's no location in the log. So a bill comes for $110. I only passed $100 worth of tolls. If the authority can't prove to me, at $10 a piece, if the authority can't prove to me what the 11th one was, there's nothing for me to dispute.
Yeah, so here what happens is that the bill doesn't come to you with a cost that you are not aware of. You are the one that computes the cost based on your driver tags. And you know because and you know that the cost must be correct because you're doing the math. So the bill cannot come for a higher value than the one you're supposed to pay.
Okay.
And we can take this offline if I'm convinced.
Sure, thank you.
Does your scheme impose any constraints on the underlying transport? You know, one of the, for example, if the underlying transport that is used to deliver those doubles has some ID, reveals some information that correlates all those doubles together, isn't privacy compromised?
So you're saying whether the anonymized database time location can still you can still infer some information about the driver's path?
Yeah, I mean, all these doubles will come from the same source. So, you know, if the server knows where these are coming from, they can correlate them.
I see. Well, for that, we use a Tor. We mentioned in our paper to use the Tor system to upload the tuples such that the server doesn't know where they come from. Or you can also upload them while driving using a Kubernetes system to any OpenAP connection.
I'll ask the question. Sure. So what can you say about functions that aren't simple additions of point functions?
So you mean additions of?
The functions you can compute, it seems, with this are functions of the form that if I've seen you at this point, it's this cost, and this
yes,
point is this cost,
exactly.
And then you just add them up.
Yes.
But what if you wanted to compute some more elaborate function, like insurance, almost surely will be a more complicated function than just I saw you at this point
yes.
in this time and this point at
yes.
this time.
Yeah, so in the VPIF protocol, we mostly describe those kind of functions. But you could also compute conditional functions. For example, is the number of times you are on a certain street greater than a certain value? And that's using something similar to Yawa's millionaires problem. Also, our framework supports any general function, I mean polynomial function, because the theoretical result is that any polynomial function can be computed using multi-party secure computation. But yeah, that would require more extension to this. So the current VPRIV protocol is described as just a sum of cost functions.
Are there any other questions? Oh, yep.
So one of the assumptions was that the server follows the protocol correctly, but that the client is untrusted, right? Isn't there a negative incentive for the server to follow the actual protocol? Because it's the client's responsibility to prove that the amount they're saying is correct. So if the server once in a while intentionally doesn't follow the protocol, what recourse is there?
Yes. So basically, the reason for which we think that the server should be trusted is because maybe it belongs to a governmental agency who may not try to bill the client more. However, if we speak about insurance companies who may want to have more revenue, then yes, I agree, the server could be malicious. And in that case, we have an extension in our paper to deal with the malicious server. And basically, the cost we have to pay is just slightly less efficiency. So first, we require the enforcement scheme to be performed by a trusted party. And second, we require that any information sent between the client and the server are being signed so that each party can prove to someone else that that's the information they got from the person. So
well,
we could also deal with a malicious server.
They could prove that the information they received was what they sent, but you're not proving that it's the true information for when you pass through the toll and everything. And you can't trust one of the two parties because they both have an incentive to minimize their cost or increase their
Yeah, the cost function should be public, and everyone should know it and should agree upon. So then the server cannot charge you more for a certain tuple than you should pay. That's also another requirement to deal with a malicious server.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Good. Thank the speaker again.